You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Thank you, 460 Box. We're trying to get something going here so we can get the spacecraft into a safe state without having to trigger it on board. So, with any luck, we can do it within the next 15 minutes.
Roger, copy.
With any luck, that is. Good morning. It's Thursday, May 7th, and that was some sound from the radio at Mission Control. And that's at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. We're going to hear more about that in just a minute. But right now, Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor of Essence, has just joined me. And we're going to ask him the takeaway question, which is, if you could spend a weekend in space, just one weekend, Patrick.
Yes.
Where would you go and who would you take with you?
Well, I'd take that aeronautical genius Halle Berry. And we'd go to Venus.
Nice. And I'm not even going to go there with you. I'm going to hand it right over to you, John, and we'll have more from Patrick in a few.
Well, the reason we're talking about that's great, Patrick, and welcome. The reason we're talking about space this morning is because we got the most amazing backstage after-hours pass into the inner sanctum of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, where they view a whole fleet of spacecraft that are probing the galaxy, probing the solar system, are actually digging around on planets. And when we caught up with Charles Alacci at JPL, the most amazing first thing out of his mouth was a reminder of just how many actual spacecraft JPL is monitoring at any given moment.
As we speak today, we have 17 spacecraft across the solar system.
17?
17.
That's
and
quite a few.
And I'll show you where we're monitoring all of them. And they range from the two Voyager, which are leaving the solar system, Cassini, which is in orbit around Saturn. We have two orbiters around Mars and two rovers. We have a spacecraft heading to Mars, which will land in 2 weeks from this Sunday. We have a number of spacecraft orbiting the sun, spacecraft heading toward comets, and we have Earth-orbiting spacecraft, which are telescopes or Earth-looking, astrophysical telescopes. It's kind of fun being in a place when you have 17 spacecraft across the solar system. So
like,
doing
like
science
the
is very
Federation.
Different.
You're the Federation.
For instance, I look at doing science on Mars. You can come with a hypothesis, a PhD student come with a hypothesis. We have two orbiters and two landers. We can send command, make them take data or make a measurement and so on, look at it in your lab, do some new hypothesis, send it back. So we think about them like the stations in Antarctica.
Uh-huh.
It's on another planet.
Right.
And it's robotic. Science is completely
That's so
different.
Great. So it's so great. I mean, not only do they have these things up in space, but their access to scientists young and old around the world is completely open. With the right proposal, you can ask them, hey, could you move the camera over there to look at that rock? And they'll do it. It's an amazing, amazing, fun place to be. And the other thing that was so interesting when we were up there is that, Alacci referred to the fact that they've got a lander that's going to be launched, or that's actually going to land on Mars in the next month on May 25th. And Alacci talked about when they actually land on Mars,
mm-hmm.
just how freaky it is. We alluded at the top of the show to the 7 minutes of terror, but Alacci elaborated on that 7 minutes of terror that ages everyone at JPL.
Thousands of things have to happen right during those 6-7 what I call minutes of terror. And if one of them goes wrong, we'll crash. You have parachutes have to open, heat shield have to be deployed, retro rockets have to fire, legs have to open, radar has to work, and it's all in 6 minutes.
Six
you are coming at 12
minutes of terror.
We call it the 7 minutes of terror.
7 minutes of terror.
Because from the time you slam at the top of the atmosphere until you have to gently land is about 7 minutes. And you are coming in at 12,000 miles per hour at that speed, and you have to come just like this, on the surface with this big machine.
How much do you age during those 7 minutes of terror?
The way I say it, I age like 5 years, but then when it's successful, I already gave those 5 years back.
And we'll be able to watch them. We'll be able to watch them age on May 25th when they have that experience all over again. And Alachi was saying that 200 networks and media outlets are going to have their cameras on all the scientists trying to manipulate that lander, the Phoenix probe that's going to land on May 25th.
I mean, that's pretty extraordinary. Seven minutes. We're talking about 420 seconds. But let me get back to your last point, which is absolutely fascinating. Really, we're looking at a democracy, essentially, of scientific discovery. If anyone
That's right.
can just, you know, they've got all these eyes. Now this JPL has all these eyes and brains thinking about ways to further their investigations.
They're looking at Saturn. They're looking at the sun. They're on Mars and orbiting around Mars. They'll be at the pole on May 25th. And, you know, we talked to some of the night shift workers and actually heard from them. You know, they develop relationships with these robots. Here's some of their reactions. That, of course, is the theme from Star Trek, of course. That's actually a dream
kidding.
Sequence coming out of my brain. But we did ask some of the people who were working there later, and I'll have that tape for you later, of some of the people who were working after hours at JPL, what they would do on a three-day weekend in space. And one of my favorite answers was this guy who said he wanted to do awesome extreme sports on the moon. So he'd take a skateboard or something and go to the moon and catch some really
that
serious
would be,
air.
That would be yeah. really fascinating. Of course, that is our takeaway question today. And you can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can send your thoughts at mytake@thetakeaway.org. And Patrick, very interesting here. Someone emailed us and said, I'd love a weekend of solitude, no phone, cell, or otherwise, no computer, maybe just a few good books with the proper amount of light to read, of course. On the other hand, I might like to have my high school reunion there as we graduated in 1969, 1 month before humans landed on the moon.
Wow, a lot of
they
verbiage.
Want a party. I think he's suggesting he wants to have a party there in the galaxy, so
an
to speak.
Expensive party at this point,
and
fun.
A very expensive party.
Bring the dead.
Bring the what?
Bring the
Grateful Dead.
Bring the Grateful Dead.
Who knows who might show up? Right now, though, we're going to get some more headlines from Femi Oke.
Good to see you, Patrick. Hello, Adora. Good morning to you all. It is 29 minutes past the hour. In your morning news, the first UN relief flight has touched down in the country of Myanmar. And in national news, violence has erupted in Lebanon, where protesters from the Hezbollah-led opposition clashed with supporters of the country's US-backed government. This comes in the middle of a strike by Shiite militant group that's paralyzed large parts of Beirut. China has sought to calm fears about a highly contagious disease that has killed 28 children in recent weeks. A foreign doctor at a private Beijing clinic, Hugh Nelson, says that as long as the public followed the rules given by Chinese Disease Control Center, there was no reason to panic.
What we will be doing in our clinic is setting aside areas so if a child comes in who has a rash on their hands or in their mouth, we'll be putting them in another waiting room away from the other children.
Chinese officials say the number of cases of the intestinal infection known as enterovirus 71 has risen to nearly 16,000 this year. That's your news.
Thank you, Femi.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.